Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
And you know, this is what I was saying earlier. I believe in revival, but I don't believe that revival is up to God and God just touches you and all of a sudden everything has changed. You're the one that controls revival. You have to open your heart up. And if you want to harden yourself, God is a gentleman. He won't force himself into your life. He will not make you serve him. He will not make you believe. You have to seek it. You have to pursue God. And if you don't pursue him, he will not be found. It says over in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that's a real popular verse. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the next verse says, in verse 12, have you got that? Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And then verse 13 says, you shall seek me, and you shall find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Not part of your heart. Not just say, God, I got 5 minutes before I've got to go watch television, and I'll give you 5 minutes, and if you'll change my life in the next 5 minutes, I'll serve you. No, you got to search with all of your heart. And so you have to pursue the things of God. You have to do things. And most of us, we would love to have God intervene in our life, but only if it's convenient. If it doesn't get in the way of your sports, if it doesn't get in the way of your crossword puzzle, or in, you know, you've got other things to do. You aren't seeking with all of your heart. And that's the reason that you haven't seen God manifest himself more. You got to pursue this. And if you don't pursue it, well, then your heart begins to start becoming progressively harder and harder and harder towards God. And in the context of what I've been talking about this week, you will not reach your destination. You won't fulfill God's will for your life if you allow your heart to become hardened towards God. So this describes how it happens. And what I'm saying is, if you can find out how your heart begins to start being hardened, how you walk away from God, how you get desensitized to God, then all you got to do is reverse this and say, man, I'm never doing these things. And if you don't do those things, and if you fight against this, then it will keep you on the straight and narrow. It will keep your heart sensitive to God, and you will fulfill your course. So I'm going to take these things here in Romans 1:21 and reverse them and talk about how you can do these things and keep your heart sensitive to God. So he started listing in verse 21 the progressive steps that people take away from God. And I believe that these are in order. The first thing that happens, it says, because when they knew God, and again, everybody at one time knew God, but when they had this revelation, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Boy, those are powerful things. And I've got, like I said, 5 teachings that go into this for about 6.5 hours worth. I'm just going to pick a few things out of this, but I encourage you to get that teaching because this is really powerful. But the very first thing, when it says they didn't glorify him as God, what does that mean? The word that was used here, the Greek word for glorify, literally means, according to the Strong's definition, it means to render our esteem glorious. And when I first read that, I thought, that's using the same word to define that word. I didn't understand it. I didn't get anything out of it. So what I did, I went to a dictionary and I began to look up the words render and esteem. And when I got to the word esteem, the word esteem means to value or prize. And when I saw that, boy, God spoke some things to me and really began to reveal some things to me. And so here's a point I want to get across, is that God, let's just say that you found God's will, that you know what God's will is, that you've started following God's will. But you know what Satan will try and do? He will try and change the value. Boy, listen to what I'm saying. This could change your life. He will try and devalue the things that God has spoken to you. He will try and get you to decrease the value, the esteem, the worth that you place on the things of God. One of the ways that he does this is because we live in a carnal world, a fallen world, where other people don't value the things of God the way that we do. So you go to work, you go to family gatherings, you just watch television and on, and we have values, things that God has told us to do that are important to us, but the whole world around us is living by a different standard. They devalue the things of God. They say that morality is not important. You know, I saw a stat just this last week or so that said that over 50% or around 50% of people in the United States aren't even married. They don't value marriage today. You know what? God values marriage. I've actually had some Christians come and say, well, there's nowhere in the Bible that it talks about that you got to have a piece of paper. You just, you know, if you marry this person, if you're shacking up with them, that's marriage in the sight of God. Adam and Eve didn't have a wedding ceremony. But you know what? Jesus said this in the 4th chapter of the book of John when he was talking to the woman at the well. He said, go call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, you have rightly said I have no husband because you've had 5 husbands and the one you're shacking up with is not your husband. He said just having a physical relationship is not marriage. He says they were, you know, that she was living with this guy and what they were doing. And yet Jesus didn't call that marriage. No, there is something about making a commitment, being official and making a commitment. And, you know, if you are living with somebody and saying it doesn't matter, I guarantee you there's a reason why they don't want to commit themselves and get a piece of paper, because they aren't committed. They're thinking, if this doesn't work out, I can just walk off and leave this. There isn't a commitment. God's values are different than this world's values. But see, we are being so inundated. The Christians are watching the same junk that unbelievers are watching. We read the same junk that unbelievers watch. We use the same things for entertainment. And then we wonder, why is it that the church is becoming more and more like the world? Whatever you focus your attention on is going to dominate you. And what I'm saying is, God has put certain values in your heart. If you're truly born again, God is drawing you towards Him. The Holy Spirit is drawing you into intimacy. But the world is saying, man, God's a crock. He doesn't even exist. None of these things are real. You know, we testified about the lady that got out of the wheelchair and that walked for 40 minutes tonight. And we talked about people that have had their hearing open and things like that. I've seen people raised from the dead. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen every type of miracle you can imagine happen. And I have people come to me and say, hey, if this is real, why don't you go on television? I am on television, by the way. And I am saying this. But people say, why don't you go on the news? And how come this doesn't get put on the news? Why don't you verify all of this stuff? Because the world doesn't believe this. They don't value this. They cannot accept it. They will sit there and they'll try and find a way out of it. There's probably people right here in this room that when Melinda gave the testimony about the woman that walked for 40 minutes, they thought, well, she must not have been really that bad. You don't believe it. There were people that saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They saw him. He'd been dead for 4 days. He stunk. His body was already in decay. And he was wrapped head to toe in grave clothes. He couldn't walk. They didn't wrap each leg individually. They wrapped both legs together. He was wrapped in grave clothes, and yet he came and stood at the front of the tomb. That means that God just supernaturally translated him out there. He couldn't walk. They saw a corpse raised from the dead, and there's people that didn't believe it and went out and tried to take counsel how they could kill Jesus and Lazarus. I'm telling you, if you have a heart to disbelieve, you won't believe, though you saw one raised from the dead, is what they told the rich ruler. He says, they won't believe. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe, though one rose from the dead. There are people today that don't value things, and they are going to sit there and they're going to find some way to believe, oh, this wasn't real. This person wasn't really deaf. This person wasn't really blind. There are people that whatever happened, if you have a tremendous experience with the Lord this week, and if you go back to your job on Monday, did you know Satan is going to parade people by you that will try and devalue what you say? If you were to stand and say, boy, God spoke to me and I saw some things and I've made a commitment of my life Last night we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people say that God had spoken things to them that they haven't acted on, and they stood and made a commitment that I'm going to do what God told me to do. And so now you've placed value on God's word and what He told you to do. I can guarantee you, you're going to have family, friends, work associates or something that if you get around them and if you were to tell them what happened to you, they would laugh at you. They would devalue it. And Satan is going to try and change the value that you place on the things of God. And it's just like a seesaw or a teeter-totter. That if you are valuing God up here, then everything else and everybody else's opinion down here is going to be relative like this. But if you start accepting the value of other people and you start accepting their idea, then your value, your esteem on the things of God decreases. They can't both be up here at the same time. You can't value God and value other people and their opinion at the same time. The Bible says in, I believe it's John chapter 4, verse 20 or 44. It could be John 4, 44 or 5, 44. But Jesus was talking to people who were criticizing Him, and He says, "How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God alone?" Jesus is saying it's impossible to really believe if you're a man pleaser. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare." And you know, the truth is that most of us are so codependent upon people because you can see them. We can't see God, and it takes faith to recognize God. Most of us are more carnal than we are spiritual, and because people can reject us and ridicule us and say things, most of us will esteem, value, glorify other people's opinion more than we do God. And the moment you start doing that, what God has spoken to you, you have quit glorifying it, and that is the first step to numbing yourself to the things of God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU19 titled, What About Your Values? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries to help support this radio program and all of the other outreaches. You know, you could visit our website and learn a lot more about what's happening, but this ministry is impacting the world. There is much more than just this radio broadcast. We have a television program that reaches 2.2 billion people potential around the world. 15 Bible colleges. There's a lot of things happening, but you know, it takes a lot of money, especially when we give our materials away to those people who are in need. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you'd like to see it continue and be a blessing to someone else, please pray about partnership and then call us at 719-635-1111 and say you'd like to become a partner.